This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? What's going on? Good Thursday. It's one half of your sports bros. Some call me the sports hero, but not all.
They do?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, that's awesome.
Sports hero. It's me, Asachi, and Buck is over there, thank God, because Suka's out.
That's right.
He is spring training it today. We haven't heard where he is, although, I mean, it used to be that, you know, we'd post to social media, cool things like that, but now we, you know, no one cares.
Now it's just stuff from my vacations 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you, like, would you 10 years ago have posted that to social media, your Turkish bathhouse photos?
I think I might have put it on the old book face.
Yeah. Do you still have Facebook?
I believe I didn't deactivate my account, but I have not gone on it in years, so I don't use it.
Yeah, that's kind of how we roll on Twitter nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's probably not great, you know, seeing how, well, you know, we got to disseminate sports opinions and I don't know. People follow us, so it's like maybe they want content, but they're not getting it.
It got Nemec to send me a message asking if I was even here because he saw some weird tweets about me yesterday from the fan account. He didn't realize it was from some time ago and thought I might be international.
Well, wait, was he reacting to the Turkish photos that we posted yesterday?
So he's doing his recruiting show tonight. I am producing it with him, and he thought, are you even, like, I saw some weird tweets about you. Are you even here?
Well, wait a minute. That was like 10 years ago.
I know.
And he thought they were current, which means...
Or they at least confused him.
Well, yeah, but he thought they were current because he was like, are you even here? Which means you do look the same as you did 10 years ago, which is a compliment.
Sweet.
Good job, man.
That's great.
I certainly don't. I showed up to a dinner the other night with a friend, and he's like, oh, my God. I'm like, what? He's like, take off your hat. And I took off my hat, and he's like, man, you got gray.
Thing about those two photos is you don't see my head. I am so much more gray now than I was
really? At
that point in time, yeah.
I thought you were about to say bald, not gray.
I mean, I'm thinner up top for sure, but it wasn't like I had... It's more the colors, the more stark contrast now.
Well, getting old sucks. You know.
It happens.
But you and I...
Enjoy the ride.
That's right. We're not old. We're not that old. I mean, we're old, but we're not that old. Could be worse.
You can still have a pretty good life when you're old, so, you know.
Yeah, you can.
Why is it such a bad thing?
Yeah, and you're wiser.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, to enjoy and appreciate.
Yeah. Get a little more free time, maybe a few more shekels in the old wallet. So, yeah, there's upside. But anyway, this guy says, my God, you're all white. You turned white. I mean, not my face. He's talking about my hair. And I was like, yeah, well, you just saw me like 3 weeks ago.
What? What? What?
He said I was more white than in my beard and hair than 3 weeks ago. Not good. At least I'm not bald, though. At least we're not Sook. Anyway, he's not posting to social media, or maybe he is. I don't know. I didn't check it. But he is down in Arizona at spring training, something I've always wanted to do in the world that I've never done. Have you?
I have. I haven't done it for a very long time. I did it when I was a teenager. I was like 13 or 14. My family went down there. It was really all about the baseball, but for someone with your appreciation of baseball and of golf and of sunny, warm weather, when the rest of the world is kind of frigid, it would be a little nice little oasis for you. I think you'd like it.
Well, I think we're going down next year.
I think you should.
Because what's happened in our world is my wife and I have gotten into the San Diego, Las Vegas trips in the winter, you know? Family in San Diego and Vegas for obvious reasons. We like it there. And so maybe next year we switch gears because Lord knows I don't need to go back to Vegas. You know, I get sick all the time and I lose a bunch of money. So,
and I think, I mean, there are like Indian casinos down there and stuff. They have like the talking stick and whatnot.
So yeah, you can gamble.
You can gamble down there
if that's
what you want to do. But
you're right.
The golf's great. The courses are dry.
You know, it's funny how we were just talking about getting older. It's funny how I'm now almost 50. And I got to tell you, the desert and the idea of living in the desert is growing on me.
Not me.
Really?
No, I don't. It's too barren. It's so rocky and feels like there's not enough life. I like the green.
So you're saying that the desert being too rocky,
well, and barren, it's dry, it's sandy, it's just sand and rocks.
Well, I mean,
I'm not for the desert.
I'm not arguing with you.
I like the mountains. I like anything around water. The dry desert, not my thing.
You're like my wife. It's personal preference. But
other people love it. It's not my thing.
Isn't there that about every place? Like, there's no, I mean, you know, there's nothing perfect. You know?
Well, no, but like it's you said, but there are preferences for sure.
Yeah.
And there's a reason a lot of people move there.
Yeah, well, taxes.
Well, people
good place to retire.
Like that weather, and they like that landscape. Just not my thing.
Yeah, the landscape doesn't do much for me, but I don't know. It's just, like you said, the idea of golfing, the sunshine, maybe a pool.
The issues now is it gets so hot during the summertime, like you can't go outside at times. And so it's like, okay, now you live in this place that's supposed to be good weather and the weather's too good or too hot, and now you're trying to leave the area that you moved to because it's not good enough weather.
Well, this is why, you know, and you know, kids out there listening, you can set up your life however you want. You just gotta, you know, you gotta buckle down and plan it. You can do it. You gotta be, you gotta set up your life so that you can snowbird. You can go, you have a couple different places and a couple of different climates. That's what's up. That's the new way to do it, Buck. Come on, man. You don't just go to one place.
Yeah, that's ideal.
You know?
If you have the means,
I
do not.
But again, you gotta plan it. You will. Big radio money you make, you will.
I mean, my wife and I really, really like the coast. And I think we would pack up shop here and go live on the coast and like downsize when the kids are like out of school.
You
like,
could live on the Oregon coast?
Yeah. We'd love it.
Okay. Why?
Something about being around the ocean is like my wife and my kids' happy place. And it's like,
well, I get
it
that.
Just,
that's the obvious, but I just mean like as far as like, live, you know, like the, is it slow?
You like, I mean, it's pace. Like, you're not going to get the Hawaiian Islands, or you're not going to get San Diego, but like,
yeah,
maybe that's the best you get. You get just a slower pace of life, a little smaller town feel.
Sure.
Live by the sea.
Only an hour to to Portland.
You're still close to friends and family, whatever.
Bandon. That's interesting. Yeah. The coast is great. I contend that the Oregon coast is one of the most beautiful places in the United States of America.
And my wife and I have only been living up here now for like 7 years. And so we're still trying to kind of get to all the little towns up and down. I mean,
there's a lot.
and we'll do one night overnights at little Airbnbs and try to check out as many different beaches and little hiking trails. But it's like, it's amazing. It's a treasure.
It really is a treasure. And I think one of the things that makes it a treasure is that it is just so unincorporated. You know, like I've said this before, but when I first moved to Oregon, I was stunned by how little was out there. It is so sleepy and it's just not, there's like two golf courses, you know, like you could play at Gearhart.
Mm-hmm.
And or we you have, can actually. Play, yeah, it's a good course. You could play at, what's the resort there? South of there, Salishan.
Yeah, that's
play
right.
There.
Yep.
But there's just not a lot out there. It still blows me away. And maybe, do you think maybe someday the Oregon coast will pop?
It's entirely possible
because of people like you, Californians yeah. like you.
I mean, but part of the draw is all the stuff that you're talking about. It feels not undiscovered, but it's just
yeah.
it's more remote. It's more removed. It's just a little bit away from it all.
Yeah, and people don't really want to move there. And which is like,
and I don't know why that is. Why is
well,
that?
Well, I think it's just there's not enough going on. See what
we're
I mean?
Fine
I
with
think,
that.
Yeah, and I think that's the way they like it. And that's the beauty of it. And it's at this nice little sweet spot there. I think some of those towns are struggling a little bit, you know?
Yeah, no, we've seen that.
And that's no good, but it's a delicate balance. Like you could make it the New Jersey boardwalk, but nobody wants that.
No.
You know, it's natural. It's a great place. You're right. The Oregon coast is great. I don't know that I could ever live there. But see, here's what you do. You just start planning to get a place there, get a rental there within the next 10 years. And then before you know it, that's where you move or retire.
There you have it.
So easy.
Figuring out the retirement world problems.
Yeah, we're speaking like rich Americans.
I ain't got it like that.
Privileged Americans.
I do have the privilege.
Well, like I said, you know, you just see, you got a plan. You can get there. But anyway, Sook's down at spring training. Don't have any idea what he's watching and where he's at. Said he's going to be drunk the whole time. But yeah, playing some golf. I may go next year. What a great trip. Anyway, I was just watching the Combine. The Underwear Olympics are on the TV in here.
I've yet to turn that on.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not missing anything, okay?
I figured as much.
I would, like, if it weren't on in here, I would not watch it probably all weekend. I'm not a Combine beatnik, or whatever you call them.
But it's, I mean, at this time of day where there aren't live sports on, it's just as good as watching two talking heads on mute looking at each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is what happened to be on my TV when I walked in.
That's true. But I every year, if I happen to catch, I don't seek Combine viewing, but if I happen to catch it, because, you know, it's in our sphere, sports sphere, I am always, there's always something that catches my attention. And just a second ago, they had James Pierce, the defensive lineman from Tennessee, on here.
Mm-hmm.
He is a defensive lineman, and he ran a 4.46.
And he's the guy some people are saying teams took off the board entirely because of personal issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, discipline, well, laziness, off the field.
Oh, okay, that's the guy. He was running in a hoodie, which I thought was odd.
Stuff like that where it's like, I don't give a rip. I'm just like the best out here and I'll do what I want.
But damn, dude.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Is that, again,
that's really darn good.
I'm no combine aficionado, but, and I know there's, you know, obviously the athleticism of each position is getting better and better, but do defensive linemen regularly run 4.4s?
Some of the edge rushers do.
Do they?
That's the unicorn position. So, you know, your Myles Garrett's of the world and guys who are,
wow.
I mean, it's incredibly rare, but you will see, like, I bet that Abdul Carter, I know he's got a foot injury, but I bet he would run a 4.4.
Okay.
It happens, but it's unique, and it's why guys like him should be top 10, top 5 picks.
Twitchy.
That's right.
They're
twitchy. Just like you in the squat rack.
Yep. And they seem leaner than they used to, you know, so they can get some of that speed. Anyway, the Combine is on, but we won't talk a lot about that today.
No, I mean, is there really much to talk about besides the little old reporter dust-up?
Oh, yes. We have a media fight. It came down in the
It broke?
Club. Yeah, last night we were talking about who would it be. Well, by the way, how about a little shout-out to myself?
Sure.
For nailing that Ian Rappaport was probably one of the participants.
Yeah.
He was.
That's right.
So we'll tell you, yeah, that we're going to start with that. That's the headliner today. And what the hell happened to Gene Hackman's dog? That's what
and Gene Hackman
about.
And his wife.
Yeah, but what about the dog?
Yeah. Questions.
Major questions.
Yeah.
I think we should do that grape hypothetical that you brought to my attention the other day.
Sure. Yeah.
That thing, that's amazing. So we'll do that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to free flow this bitch.
That's right.
Sit back, relax. We're just going to goof off for 3 hours. Wait, 4 hours.
Yep. That's right.
So we'll start with the media fight. There was a fight. You know, Suk and I talk about this all the time, having to be loosely affiliated with the media. These people take themselves way too seriously. And boy, if this isn't a shining example of what happened in Indianapolis, of that, we'll get to that coming up next. A couple of texts, it's not the Vancouver Ford text line anymore. Rest in peace, Vancouver Ford text line. It's now just the fan text line, I'm told. Stay away from Cannon Beach. It's not good. Trust me. We don't want you here. I mean, they don't want you there. That's so true. Cannon Beach is wonderful.
I mean, Oregonians weren't keen on me, the Northern Californian, coming up here anyways in the first place.
No,
so I don't really care where I'm wanted. I'm just going to go where I feel like.
I know. But if I lived in Cannon Beach, I wouldn't want anyone coming there either.
I understand. It's
Cannon
wonderful.
Beach is, that to me is my favorite place on the coast, if we're talking Oregon coast.
That is probably our number one or close to.
Just a delightful little town. What was I going to tell you? Oh, somebody mentioned Astoria Country Club is a great course. The Dunes course in Florence is awesome. That's right. Both good. I'm just, you know, even with that, there's still a lack of golf on the coast, in my opinion. Plus, Astoria Country Club, I think, is private. But you have Bandon Dunes.
Golf.
Somebody mentioned, too, that, you know, the Southern Oregon coast, if you want undiscovered, sleepy, and slow.
Yeah.
Go to the Southern Oregon coast, and that's so true, man. You want to be off the grid, bro? Go down there.
Off the grid for sure. It gets awfully. I like remote,
uh-oh,
but it gets awfully remote.
That's what I mean. Off the grid, like you, dude. You're way.
Yeah,
out
I don't know if I want to be somewhere with just like one general store that's also your gas station. That might be a bridge too far for me.
Hard to get to.
But well, hard to get to. I don't mind.
Nobody can find you.
That part, not as keen on.
Witness protection, friends.
Ooh, that intrigues me.
Bandon Dunes.
That intrigues me.
Yeah, well, guys, I don't know. I was talking to somebody in Mexico today. I got some friends down there, and I was like, yeah. I did a little cocky sniff on him, Buck. I told him it was 65 and sunny here. I said, tell the locals in Mexico it's 65 and sunny where you're from. Cocky sniff. I'll be jealous. Do you ever get that where you leave the Oregon winters or try to just take a break from the Oregon winters? You go to, you know, I don't know, Southern California or Palm Springs, wherever you go, and you get sunshine, and then you get a little pissed off that it's nice back here.
I never get that. I know I understand that sentiment. That just feels like a waste of my energy. So I just
and it is.
The whole, like, I can't believe it. Oh, well, now we're finally on. Now that we're on vacation, it's finally nice back home. Like. We're on vacation. What do I care what it is back home?
No, that's fair. That's fair. But does it make you feel better if it's really crappy here and you're somewhere?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. We went to the Florida Keys 2 years ago during Portland snowstorm.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to make you feel good.
It was, we landed and could not get home. Had to stay in the airport hotel because there was so much snow and ice on the road. And we had come from like 83 degrees and 70% humidity.
Mm.
Yeah.
You came home too early.
We, because of the storm, I was really pushing for us to just come home later.
Yeah, and she said no.
Yeah, well, we had
it was the right idea.
It was the end of our parental leave, so we had a little baby with us.
Yeah, didn't you guys kill Gene Hackman like 3 years ago? Yes, we did. We killed him off. He is he was not dead, but now he is. And I don't know if you've seen him lately. We'll talk about him later, but boy. You will not like if you see the pictures of him, because he was pictured with his wife Betsy, who both died.
Yeah,
and they were pictured at a store recently, like a couple weeks ago. You will not. If I tell you it's Gene Hackman, there is no way that you would think that that's Gene.
I think we did this in the club.
We did.
Within the last year or two, where it was like. Because the first photo of him in like years had surfaced, and he hadn't made. Any movies or TV since like 2004.
That's
and he
right.
was really out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
And when we saw that initial photo, it was jarring.
You're right. We did do that. He hasn't done a movie since 2005.
2004, I think.
20 years since he was 75.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we hadn't seen him. Then he pops out of his cubby in New Mexico, and we're like, whoa, that's Gene Hackman?
Yeah, lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah, he doesn't even look like
he's also in his 90s, but yeah.
And now I have a theory on what happened to them. I don't know if you've been reading on this, but it's a wild story.
I've seen some of the headlines, and at first, people are like thinking and hoping it's one thing, but then there's also some odd details, so I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah, it's odd. We will get to it. But first, the major story of the day, something right up our alley, is we have media fight in Indianapolis at the Combine. Now, we initially broke this story to you here last night during the club, and we were speculating because somebody, I think it was, who was it? Barstool or Bleachers, you know, I don't know. One of those bros put out a thing that was kind of vague, and it just said on social media, just said, two media NFL influencer insider guys got into it at a Starbucks across from the Combine.
Yeah, and it turned out it was the Starbucks in the JW Marriott Hotel, which may very well be across the street. But yeah, it was the
because they're all staying
essentially there. The media hotel Starbucks. Yeah.
So we now have the deets. And by
names.
The way, well, I'm sorry.
We got the names.
We do have the names, and I'm a little disappointed in one of them. The other one was predictable. Per multiple sources who witnessed the interaction, Jordan Scholes of Fox and Ian Rappaport of NFL Media engaged in a verbal altercation on Wednesday afternoon at the Starbucks at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. Schultz, we're told, accosted Rappaport. This is from a Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
So this is Florio's version. The incident first came to widespread light when, there it was, PFT commentator posted a tweet on Wednesday that referred to a serious big-time media confrontation between two NFL newsbreakers. And by the way, you should know that Jordan Scholes is Howard Scholes' son, Starbucks founder. So very ironic that this happened in a Starbucks.
I didn't even think of that.
Well, wouldn't it have been something if Rappaport KO'd Jordan Scholes in a Starbucks? Come on. I'm rooting for that.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the demise of both of them now. But we're told, so this is from Pro Football Talk, we're told that Rappaport was talking to an agent. Scholes approached Rappaport and said, "We need to talk," or specific words to that effect. Rappaport replied, "We don't need to talk," which I love. No, we don't. Scholes then made accusations about Rappaport. Regarding the accusations, Rappaport said those were unfounded. The two men were essentially face-to-face. Scholes said, "If you have anything to say to me, say it to my effing face. If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem."
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Rappaport then asked Scholes to step back. "If this happens again, we're going to have an effing problem," said Scholes. "Now I'll step back." So a little threat. A little threat from Jordan Scholes.
If what happens again? That's what's not clear, right?
Well, I think it is. Scholes was mad. So I'll just read the rest of this to you. Rappaport declined to comment on the situation. Scholes told PFT, "It really isn't anything too much. Rappaport and I had a verbal confrontation. It lasted over a minute. Multiple agents and reporters were nearby. He was the one who called security shortly after, but it never escalated further." Apparently, Scholes was the one who put out a report that Matthew Stafford had met with Tom Brady in Montana.
Right. I saw that report.
What he's mad about is that Rappaport sort of downplayed that report. He said that was just a chance encounter, and that pissed Scholes off. He said it was not random because his reporting was that they met in Montana
to talk about football stuff. Yeah. They were just there at the same time.
So somehow these two think so much of each. Well, I hate to say this because I fully expected Ian Rappaport to be in the middle of this.
And why is that? I mean, I've never. Is that his reputation? I've always thought of him as being kind of squeaky clean, but like.
Well, I don't know about squeaky clean. His reputation is that he has made. He's made a lot of missteps. I think there's a lot of insiders who don't take him quite as seriously.
Yeah.
As kind of a junk thrower, you know, not necessarily as a serious insider the way of Scheffler, Glazer, those types of guys. I think Rappaport is kind of hated amongst his peers for that reason. You know, and I don't have specific examples of that. It's just what I've heard. I also think that, I don't know if you follow a lot of the NFL newsbreakers. I follow them all on Twitter and stuff. If you really dig into Rappaport's stuff, there's a lot of really vague, almost
kind of fortune teller language where it's like anything could fit that or it could make that true.
It's kind of like he's trying a little too hard to break news that really isn't there type of thing. So anyway, that's what they were fighting about, it, which I can only imagine was great to witness. Like Schultz was so mad about that he had to confront him in a Starbucks and get in his face and threaten him.
My reporting is fair and accurate.
This is how self-important these guys are, though. So I'm a little disappointed in Jordan Schultz because I actually really like Howard Schultz, and I have a few run-ins with Jordan Schultz, and I like him, too. I'm surprised that this is him, but here we are.
See, I don't know much of him.
Yeah, he's kind of a newer insider.
Newer face in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what's a douchier move, though. Him confronting someone over something so stupid or Rappaport then calling security.
Yeah, that's, seems a little much. Were you really that threatened, Ian?
Would you, I mean, like,
What's secure? Like,
what? When would you call? That dude could have pulled out a machete, and I'm Rappaport.
Like, you're not going to call him. I'm not call calling security during the confrontation. And once it's over, what's the point?
Yeah, like that's pretty. I don't know. It's a neck and neck race here. It's a douche off, but I just calling security. I mean, Schultz. It sounds like he was kind of aggressive, but not. You know, it's typical dust up. But do you really need NFL security for that? So that's what happened.
They're around too many sports bros. They got to have a chip on their shoulder at all times. God, no one believed in them.
Well, they do, and they just think so much of themselves, and they're like, that's really that important that you got to fight over it?
But they convince themselves. It's like the athlete mentality. Like, they convince themselves that, like, this is my thing, and this is what I have to protect, and it's my reputation, and then, like, it gets to be this dumb pissing contest.
Yeah, it's something. It's really something. The only guy worse in sports is Doug Gottlieb. Than these media insider types.
Speaking of,
love themselves.
I saw Doug Gottlieb's team was favored tonight.
Yeah,
automatic fade. I bet against him just on principle.
They must be playing a really bad
Detroit
team.
University.
Okay, and he's.
I know nothing about either. He's awful. His team is awful. I'm fading him.
He's at Green Bay.
I'll take the points. Yeah, Wisconsin Green Bay.
And he's 3-26.
And they're 3.5-point favorites at home against Detroit.
Wow.
Fade on principle.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I mean, like you said, Detroit must be bad. Don't care.
3-26. I saw a feature on Doug Gottlieb today. Not worth really getting into other than to tell you that he is bristly as hell about all the criticism that he's getting.
Oh, yeah.
He is not handling that. And they even pointed it out in the article that, you know, being a talk show host, you're going to have to deal with criticism from people because you are often critical of sports figures and people in sports.
Well, and you're out there publicly not doing your main job.
Well, yeah, but that's, well, yeah, he got a lot of crap just for that. Just that he was going to still host his show and coach, and he just calls them haters. You know, that's the easy way to dismiss criticism is, oh, you're just a hater. Well, now he's getting real bristly over criticism that he sucks because he's also doing his radio show, and that couldn't possibly contribute to it. But he just says, you know what he says about that? His thing is, people are just jealous. He said, I've gotten great opportunities in my life, and people are just jealous. So it's all like...
Well, or people have seen how you conduct yourself and think you're a douche.
Yeah, he can't look in the mirror. He's the worst. But they are 3-26, and it said in that article that is the ninth worst record ever for a coach in his first year in college basketball.
Nice.
Yeah, ninth worst. So there's actually been eight even worse than
him. Do you think he does it again next year? Or you think this
they
is
said, yeah, the AD was quoted in there because they were, I mean, dude, they
But
were,
even if the AD says okay, do you think he goes back through this again?
I think he does because you can't get any worse. And you at this point, you have to try to save face in some way.
Well, maybe you don't get any worse, but this can't be enjoyable.
Well, no, it's not enjoyable. But the AD said, we're going to see this through. But he did say, he said they were stunned. And I don't know how he was this stunned, but he said they were stunned at the level of criticism they got for that hire. And I don't know how he's stunned by that. But that's what he said.
It's stunning that you were stunned.
Correct. Anyway. And now you know why Suk and I stay out of the media fray when it comes to that kind of thing. All right. I have a new Jason Kelce.
Ooh.
Somebody who is overexposed. I would like to bring to your attention. And we got a little college football taint tickler coming up.
We do?
Yeah, I got a little recruiting news.
Recruiting?
All kinds of stuff. So stay right there. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They were just showing the overlay on the combine coverage of James Pierce of Tennessee. He's a defensive lineman. His 40 over Patrick Mahomes' 40, and Pierce blows him out of the water. Defensive lineman. And we know Mahomes isn't like a speedster, but 4.47. By the way, Jordan Birch just ran a 4.7. That's pretty good for his size.
I think it is. I think that he probably would have been hoping for a 4.6.
Really?
I think it's solid. He's a big dude, but he could really move for his size, and I thought he might have been a hair faster than that.
Mm. Look at you, disappointed.
I mean, I'm not trying to.
I think
I'm trying
are.
To dog the guy.
I think that's what you're trying to do, son of a bitch. I've got a new. I just want to run something by you here. We got a little short seggy here. I toss this in. I got a new Jason Kelce, and by that I mean I've. Particularly before the Super Bowl, I was just and have been vocal about my... It's not that I don't like Jason Kelce. It's that he's overexposed and all of a sudden... I think it just started with him taking off his shirt at a Chiefs game and chugging a beer or something, or maybe it was an Eagles game, wherever it was. And all of a sudden, he was everywhere. He's in every ad.
He's on every show.
Yes, he has his own late night show. And so it's just... It's very bizarre to me, but I guess I don't know. I don't... And, you know, strike while the iron's hot.
It kind of was like the NFL and the NFL marketing machine, like, realized he was a really marketable and great guy, like, the last season of his career, and was like, oh, my God, what have we been doing this whole time? And just, like, fed it to us in a fire hose.
Well, when you're hot, you're hot. I get that. But it's true of this guy, too, that when he was a like, I think sometimes when you're a player, you can't really be that guy. It's once you retire
for sure
that you can sort of let your personality out a little bit more. And this guy is exactly that, because he was a total bore when he played. But am I wrong that this guy is overexposed to the level of Jason Kelce at this point? He is everywhere and in everything, and I am talking about none other than the great Eli Manning.
Yeah, we talked about this the other day in one of the breaks, because I spotted him at a TGL match, and you're like, that guy?
He's everywhere.
What's he doing at the TGL match?
And listen, he's great. He's got a good personality. He's fun.
But why do we need so much why? Eli Manning in all these other places? Like,
thank you.
He's great in his lane. I don't give a rip what Eli has to do with golf.
Yeah, and he's in a ton of ads.
A whole bunch of other stuff,
He's all over the place now. I saw him on, he was on...
Is he just relatable to the common man? Is that why he's so popular?
Well, I think he's hawking stuff, and he's got buddies in the
business. Well, I know, but I'm saying, but, like, what makes him... Like, you know, he's like the Frank's Red Hot sauce guy. Why is he that? Is it because just... The average American trusts Eli Manning, or, like...
Mannings are presentable.
Yeah.
They're very well-known.
But he's, like, definitely the lesser of the brothers.
He is, but he's got a really good personality.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't, like I said, we didn't know when he played. He was awful when, I mean, not awful, but he just was a real bore when he played. So, I don't know. And he probably has a lot, I would imagine he has piggybacked a lot off of Peyton, who for a time was everywhere. I feel like he's now over it, and Eli's taken over for him. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but... I need less Eli Manning in my life right now.
Fair enough.
And I also need less Jason Kelce still. Although his wife, she's fine. Don't mind her.
And she...
she's hot.
She, you know, catapulted past Hawk to a girl for the number one podcast in the world.
Really?
Yeah. I don't believe she is anymore. But at the debut of her podcast, she jumped Joe Rogan and everybody else.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Does that mean it was good, or just that people were checking it out?
Just that people... That whatever the Kelce thing that they are selling, people are eating it up.
People love it. That's fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to corkscrew that in. Let's get to some college football. The team that is soaring in recruiting and a real battle with the Ducks. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
If you see any good players, tell them to come here.
Well, this begins the college football taint tickler, where we discuss what the hell's gotten into USC. I'm reading that, I about said Lane Kiffin, Lincoln Riley has now the number one recruiting class for 2026.
Hmm.
Is that right? Just past Oregon. Oregon's number two on this list I'm looking at, Sports Illustrated.
I was not aware of that. I knew that they were having a little bit of a run right now. I didn't know that they'd passed Oregon, but I guess they're doing it.
2026. So this is a ways off. There's not a
lot. This is next year's class.
Right, not a ton of commits. But, so Notre Dame was expected to get a defensive lineman whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce. Five-star kid. His high school teammate... had played at Notre Dame or was playing for Notre Dame or committed to Notre Dame, and yet USC still signed him. And then the quarterback, I guess you are going to know better than I am.
Jonas Williams?
Yes. So there's who is Jonas Williams and who is Jared Curtis? Both quarterbacks.
Yes. So Jonas Williams was committed to the Ducks. He flipped to USC.
Yeah, there's another one. Five-star kid, right?
Depending, four or five, depending on where you look. But yes, very much one of the top quarterbacks in that class, whether connected or not. And maybe we'll talk about this tonight on recruiting with Andrew Nemec. But Jared Curtis is the nation's top quarterback for that 2026 class. And I believe that he is down to Oregon and Georgia for his top two. So maybe it's a writing on the wall thing where Jonas Williams thought, well, if Jared Curtis is coming here, I should go somewhere else. Or maybe those two things aren't related at all.
Yeah, hard to know, but somewhere along the way, USC seems to have gotten their house in order when it comes to recruiting.
And things were ugly for a while there. They were. I mean, even just this last transfer portal cycle, they were losing a whole lot more than they gained.
Yeah, maybe they got their NIL crap all sorted. I don't know, but Sports Illustrated has them the number one class 2026, with Oregon number two. This Curtis guy. Georgia, isn't it funny how Oregon, do you have to pinch yourself that Oregon is like
yes
in it?
Yes.
For all, it's always like Oregon, Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas. Like, it's unbelievable.
I mean, when I was in college 20 years ago, I worked as a recruiting intern for Oregon football. And to get a visit from a kid anywhere off of the West Coast was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I can't believe that this kid who's from either Texas or Florida or wherever is actually going to give us a look. And now they're neck and neck with those schools, with the Blue Bloods, with the other favorites. And you're like, you know, the kid they landed yesterday, the safety, is from Melbourne, Florida. I mean, they have pipelines all over now. And it's an indication of growth of the program, because that used to be so far out of the realm of normalcy. And now it's just old hat.
Yeah. It's just, you don't, and you get them too. Like, I remember back in the day.
Yeah. They're not just competing for them, they're landing them.
Yeah. Back in the day, it would be a huge story if Oregon was in a final two or three with some of the big boys. And then you would just be like, well, you know, it would just be.
If they were one of the hats on the table for, signing day.
And it would be a miracle if they got them.
Right.
You got one every once in a while. But now it's just, you're right, it's old hat. It's crazy. So right now, Sports Illustrated lists USC 1, Oregon 2, Texas A&M is 3, followed by Penn State and Kansas. Hell yeah. Ooh, no 5 stars though. Maybe that's just because we already have 12 commits. I'm a part of the program.
Naturally.
They send me they want my money. Mm-hmm. They want me to donate to the program for the NIL fund.
They want that big radio money.
They do. But anyway, I do like, the one thing I do like, well, one, two things. One, if USC really is recruiting well, I have always rooted, and I don't mean root for the team USC, I could care less, but I think it is better for college football. I always said it was way better for the Pac-12, and I'm going to say the same thing about the Big Ten now that they're in the Big Ten. It is better for the Big Ten when USC is at the top of the league.
It's better when your brands are relevant.
And they're a great...
Your big brands are relevant.
They're just a great villain. They're a little bit like the Lakers in that way.
Yeah.
That when they're down, something's missing. So I've always wanted USC to get their act together. Something's in the water down there. They never seem to be able to do it. But hopefully, you know, they're recruiting well, and it continues. And they, can you imagine the top of the Big Ten with USC, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State? I mean, that's awesome stuff. Particularly if they're able to finally figure out the scheduling and the formatting, and so they all play each other and get to see those matchups. At any rate, the other thing I like is I love that Dan Lanning, even though Oregon is known as one of the best transfer schools, and they've done a great job in the transfer portal, I do love that Lanning is still kicking ass at the high school level too.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is I think when you look at these composite ratings, and I know there are 4 or 5 different services that like compete for all of these different ratings, whether it's On3, 24/7, Sports Illustrated, all of those. The most recent one I saw that was a composite of both transfer and incoming high school, the Ducks had the best combined of those two.
Yeah, and that's huge, because I do think that if you're not really paying attention, you could maybe fall into the trap of thinking that Oregon is just doing the quick fix transfer thing.
You need the transfers, but that can't be the identity of your program.
You got to
build, and you got to grow guys.
And they kind of are doing the quick fix transfer thing, because I think Dan
Lanning, certain spots, absolutely.
Well, he brought in a just a different level of recruiting. And so, I mean, my God, he was at Georgia. He was the defensive coordinator on the best team ever, potentially. At least the best defense.
They had 5 or 6 players drafted in the first round or something like that?
Yeah, insane. And so he brought that to Oregon, but that takes time. So I think it just bodes really well that in the meantime, while he's building it with the foundational pillars of really good high school kids that they can develop, in the meantime, they're still the number one seed in the college football playoff tournament with some high school recruits, but also with a bunch of transfers. I think that bodes really, really well for Oregon's future, because they do need, you can't just go, you know, Deion Sanders, who basically does not make in-home visits at all for high school kids. He just doesn't. It's weird.
He doesn't grind like that.
So you're an Oregon fan. You got to feel good. But I'm telling you, you want USC back. I just think it would be great if USC and Oregon had a nice rekindled rivalry, Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly style in the Big Ten. All right, coming up next. Hey, am I going to get to corkscrew a little golf in?
Sounds like it.
I mean, who's going to stop me? You going to shut off my mic?
That would be no one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Look at a little golf. You know, Ryan Buckley needs a shout out. He needs a little credit because he's done it again, folks. He has done it again. That'll kick off next hour on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.